podcast, the English language for Ofka, but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm the VIP ex-player at Tribuna Staffel.
Yes. Well, you know Milan Patsander. Or even a Tomasz Polak, but here you are.
But I am the one that I can't remember his name of.
Schwanzera.
I can remember him. You're the guy that sells mobile phones.
Yeah. You're that guy who pops up all the time being irritating and yeah. Anyway, less said about that the better, because we've got a lot of things to say about a lot of other things.
What a week that was and what a week that was.
Yeah, good crikey. Four games happened. We played Ustinad Labem, Dukla Prague, and two others, Vitkovice and Trinets there.
Saved it.
Yeah, saved it by looking down at my notes. So we will look back at all of those games for better or for worse, for longer or for shorter. We've got previews of the derby on, when is it?
It's not a derby, Thursday.
Thursday against Lisheng.
Bring your ladders.
And the really big game against Jihlava.
Mm-hmm. One of Monday.
Yeah, one of a series of big games coming up, actually. Mm-hmm. We have also got, what's the deal with Ustinad Labem? Because we should have been there and we weren't, but we're going to do that section anyway. We've got Beer of the Podcast, we've got Hot or Not, and yes, other things besides. Well,
so strap yourself in, listener.
Yeah, it's going to be rapid fire, hopefully.
Like the Czech football season, it never seems to stop.
Right, the first game back, in fact, was away at the pride of the North Moravian Brown Coal Basin. Ustinad Labem. We won, didn't we? So that was
we
nice.
We won and that's enough,
yes,
basically.
That's enough. Yeah.
Shake off the nerves after the second break.
Let's say.
It's been a long time without any football, really. And now they come thick and fast. It was really important to sort of lay down a marker and sort of happened.
3 points against a team that normally does us, really. You know, we're not traditionally very good against them, as mentioned a couple of weeks ago. 2-1 it was.
Yeah, we are complete draw specialists against Usti, so that was nice to see us actually come out of there with the 3 points.
Yeah, they helped us a lot with their suicidally high backline.
Playing a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. In fact, the first goal was just a loose ball from Bilek, one of their centre-halves, scuffed a pass to their goalkeeper, which Prikistar ran onto. It was just him one-on-one, and he finishes... I am cliche bound to say coolly.
Mm-hmm. It's the one of those I think we get a season, because we had one last season with Radim Otmar losing his head.
Yeah,
with Raditz. So this one, it looked comical on the screens anyway. Mm. Maybe that was also, you know, several beers in after what was that 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, so that high line actually helped us a lot. We got a lot of joy, particularly down the right-hand side, actually. A lot of sort of long balls over and running on and them trying to catch us offside and not working. However, as predicted by you, Shirley's son and Dram and Lukasz Mateka caused us all sorts of problems. Their front three, very quick, very mobile.
I like those players. It's very quick and very mobile against us, though, and then absolutely useless like 4 days after against Pardubice, where they got scudded 5-0.
Yeah.
Very strange, because I think they seem to have learned their lesson and aren't playing 4-3-3 anymore. Like, I don't think Drame's been played in that position all season. But they were quite a fit side, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so obviously it means sort of keeping up some level of tempo and training. Their results in the friendly seem to go okay. And I don't think Zborovka ever really looked that comfortable, even after being one up and then after being
no
two.
I think also Schuster in for the orange injured Jirka Floda,
mm-hmm.
Looked a little bit uncomfortable. There were a couple of sort of long range shots that he sort of palmed aggressively away that looked sort of comfortable catching height from sort of 25, 30 yards out. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of moments of slight miscommunication there, but I think, you know, he was only in January, so that's understandable enough. Yeah, I mean, it was 1-0 going into half time. We came out in the second half. The second half starts with Prikistal hitting both the right hand post and the bar in one move. Yeah. Do you remember that? That was
excitement.
Yeah, excitement. And then you start thinking, is it going to be one of those days?
Aye.
And then it wasn't. We were 2-0 up about 5 minutes after that. A header from Jan Hladík, who popped up from midfield. And Tvrdoň, is it Jozef Tvrdoň, I think, maybe?
Perhaps.
In the Usti goal, he has to do better. It's a really poor attempt at going up for the ball. He's sort of balked by his own centre-half, but he's already falling backwards and flapping on what should be a really, really simple cross. Mm-hmm. And if you're goalkeeper size with your arms up and you're beaten in the air by Jan Hladík, you deserve to be conceding that goal, to be honest.
It's a flattering one, because I believe I said at the time, and I still believe this, that I didn't think that Jan Hladík was very good in this game.
No.
To be honest, I don't think he's been good in any of the games that we've played. Partly from being moved around, he starts this game as a striker. He then becomes a central midfielder, I believe. And then he is reinvented as a winger as well recently, which is quite a transformation over four matches. And he's just like, his touch just looks brutal. There's a couple of times where there's been a nice bit of sort of interplay or whatever. I remember specifically when Hladík got free, twice in the second half, and his first touch just, you know, just spirals out of control, and it's the whole move gets broken down.
Yeah,
like, he does lack a lot of composure. I mean, he's very young. He's 20, I think.
Oh, is he?
But
is he not? Yeah, right.
You know, I think he really needs to be doing better. And I wasn't sure if he's just in for the rotational thing or if Michalik really believes in him. But I believe if we get anywhere close to the first league, we need somebody who's going to play like a sort of a utility, sort of a, you know, sort of winger slash striker, what's it called, a trekkerista or something, going up in that sort of bit of the pitch, needs to be doing a lot better.
I mean, sort of, that's what Prikistar is there for. And as a central midfield option, Uncle Vanya has been out for a while. So he will be back at some...
Uncle Vanya's losing the legs. I'll say that now.
You reckon, at the age of, what is he, 30 only?
Like, yeah. I don't know about that. Like, I mean, Vanyak has, I believe, been carrying injuries going through the break.
Yeah, this was bruised rib was the latest one.
And he did, like, he was huffing and puffing in a couple of the games, I think, and then was rested. Like, he was on the bench against Trinets and then came on later on.
Yeah, that's true.
So we need to have a sensible rotation going there.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see the rest of this game out. We are 2-0 up. Sort of not really deserved. We were okay. And then Lukasz Matejka pulls one back 5 minutes after Hladík scores and sets up a nervy, I would say, final half hour. We were never massively threatened, but again, it was that feeling that there was always a massive ricket in us somewhere, and it thankfully never... It nearly did when Schuster tried to, like, you know...
Sweeper it.
Cruyff turned somebody near his own area. But we sort of held on, and that was that really, wasn't it?
It was remarkably quite like the football, in that if you're watching it in a pub with, you know, I think there was maybe about 30, 40 other Zbrojovka fans, that's maybe a conservative estimate, but then, you know, when you're that feeling, it's like that, a sharp intake of breath, like, oh no, it's going to happen again. It does sort of catch on and get infectious. Should actually point out that most of these games have been on in Zlata Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of town, organised by the club and Zborovatsi and other bodies, and they've been remarkably good fun.
They have, yeah, they've
and
been great fun.
It's a good way to actually get cheaper beer at that place as well, because they do a special deal if you're there for Zborovka.
Yeah.
So, worth checking out the club's page if you're in Brno and you want to take in something with a bit of atmosphere before they start letting us in again.
Yeah, so we then had a home game against Dukla Prague, which we're going to look at now, I guess. So, the Dukla Prague game, I wanted to make this a comedy 20-second segment in which we said, well, that was dreadful, and then we move on. But Sam has opinions.
It was an important game, David. I think this was the most important game.
It was.
Especially because if you look at, like, basically where both teams were at, both teams were essentially like neck and neck. I think there was 1 point difference going into this game. And Dukla had come off a very assured 2-1 win against Jihlava. And perhaps it's not the most attractive football in the world, but it was quite interesting, I think, from a tactical perspective, because you had Zbrojovka sort of lining up in almost like a Christmas tree formation, like this 4-3-2-1.
Yeah.
And against a Dukla team that tends to play three at the back and five in the middle. So it became this kind of interesting midfield battle.
It was incredibly midfield heavy, wasn't it? That's my sort of presiding memory of it.
It's incredibly so. But I just actually found the game interesting. Like, I can remember more about that game than the Usti game, because it was one that really went back and forth. Like, I thought that Zbrojovka started the game absolutely dreadfully for the first 15 minutes. I think we were completely under the cosh. There was too much movement. We're playing too high a line at some points. And then after that, the momentum turned again, and it just kept turning every 15, 20 minutes in the match. Like, they hit the post, we hit the post. And really, it is quite interesting when you see Zbrojovka lined up like that and Dukla lined up like that. And it was just sort of like teams just played each other to a draw. It was a really sort of tactical thing there.
Yeah.
And we don't often see that, because we just see people losing the head or, you know, suicidal defending and stuff like that. But it was actually a reasonably contained strategic game.
Yeah, that's true. There was definitely, both sides had an element of control, and there was definitely a game plan from both sides, I think, rather than, yeah, as you say, just throwing things at the pitch and see what happens, which happens a lot in this league.
Yeah, and I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to talk about this game to, first of all, mention Christmas tree formation, because I never think I'll be able to do that about Zbrojovka again.
Okay.
But also the reemergence of Peter Stepanovski as...
Yes, as a fullback.
And I think that he was actually very good in the Dukla game, and I think that we have that, and Iceman is this sort of experience. Okay, he's not in his position really, but having that experience at the back, able to clear up after balls, like, he is sort of a you could call him a ball-winning midfielder normally, perhaps.
Well, I think
going back into that role, I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, I think as a converted, well, he was playing as a winger earlier on. Yeah, no, as a winger converted into an attacking fullback, as Iceman is on the other side, and having those two experienced heads, as you say, both, you know, early to mid 30s, when the rest of the team, particularly midfield, are very, very young indeed. He has looked like a man reinvented. Like, we barely saw him the first half of the season, because we had all these young bucks coming through, and then, yeah, he's really stepped up in his new role as fullback. I think he's probably been one of, if not the player of the first four games back for us.
I'd be inclined to agree with that. Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. I just really like having a back four with him and Drexler in it on that side. I think it's I think it's really good, because Drexler is more of a stopper, so it does, you know, give Stepanovski a bit more freedom to sort of bomb up at times.
Yeah. Drexler, a very one-dimensional centre-back, not in a bad way, in a very, you know exactly what you're getting from him, which is lots of instruction, lots of shouting at people, and lots of getting in the way of shit.
Yeah. Forget, like, you need defenders in this league.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of teams forget this. And this is why you always have, like, 19-year-old on fourth start, you know, turning up for, like, Sokolov or Hunim or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, having a
play it out
back
from the back, lads. No, you can't. You're not good enough.
Yeah.
You need some meat in there.
And let's be real. Like, I mean, Zbrojovka haven't had a settled back four in about two seasons at this point. It's always been sort of chops and changes because people have been injured and so on.
I am really sad that we might not get to see a Drexler-Krzysztofek centre-half partnership, because I think that would be lovely, because Krzysztofek is more of an elegant, more of a ball-playing centre-half. Yeah. Drexler is, you know, the meat and potatoes player. And with those two wing, sort of, you know, full-back wing-backs, that would be lovely to see, that back four, Iceman, Drexler, Krzysztofek, Stepp. But it's looking increasingly unlikely as Krzysztofek comes slowly, slowly back from injury.
Just very quickly, because I know we're pressed for time, do you think that Drexler has been a really a good replacement for Schmid? Or do you still prefer how Schmid was?
I so far on this evidence, I actually prefer Drexler to Schmid. Schmid, perfectly serviceable player, but weirdly, just from his demeanour, he didn't inspire me with as much confidence as Drexler did. Like, physically, they're quite similar. They're both about 6'2", 6'3", both, you know, sort of 32, 33, 34-ish years old, sort of early to mid-30s. But Drexler seems to sort of come alive when he's needed to do defendery things. And Schmid seemed to just be a little bit reticent for the size and the shape of him. There wasn't enough oomph about him for me.
Didn't give away two penalties in three games.
Yeah, I just I just think Drexler is he's a proper centre half. Whereas Schmid was a little bit
Schmid's really good with his head, though, I think is the big difference there, because Schmid would pop up with goals every so often.
Yeah, it's a shame it's football, though, isn't it, really?
Well, actually, the, well, just to put a sort of a close on this, because we've got a couple of more games to go still, it does look like, I mean, we were reasonably disappointed with a point in the sort of the sense that we thought that Dubrovka really needed to win a game like that. But if you're just looking at sort of consolidating second or third place, one that we very much got away with, because
yes,
the gap has been increasing and increasing due to other results going our way. So a point now in hindsight doesn't seem like the worst result ever.
In a reversal of the cliche, that's 1 point gained rather than two lost, sure. I think. Right. As I previously mentioned, we should have been going to Usti under normal circumstances. So we're going to bring back, we're going to revive the What's the Deal With Insert Town Name Here feature. That's coming next. So, what's the deal with Ustinad Labem, I wonder? I mean, I don't wonder, I've got it written down here.
It's your bit,
it's my bit, yeah, I'm not wondering.
had this in a drawer since middle March.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's in the northeast of the country.
It's in the northwest of the country.
Northwest of the country, sorry. That's a fine start. I didn't have that written down.
I mean, you're probably not the first person to arrive in Usti and think it's still Ostrava, so, you know.
Yeah, and also go, where the fuck am I? That also happens. It is the capital of its kraj, the creatively named Ustetsky Kraj. Mm-hmm. It's the ninth biggest city in the country. The Coventry of the Czech Republic, if you will, that being the ninth biggest city in Britain. That's not the
that's not fair, because I'm pretty sure I saw a church in Usti that actually had its steeple.
Oh, that's it's a bit wonky.
Cathedral,
but,
I suppose.
Yeah, damn right. Well, you know, Usti also had the shit bombed out of it in the Second World War, so yeah. You know,
proved it.
It was sort of important trading post, because it was on the Elbe, and it became rich off the back of minerals, wool, cloth, paper, shipbuilding, and most importantly chemicals, which is a big deal. It's still a massive place for chemical manufacture now. In fact, its golden years were from 1870 to 1900. In those 30 years, the population quadrupled due to how rich the city became.
Wow.
And some of the architecture from that period, you can still see it here and there.
In between.
Yeah, in between the concrete rebuilding from the 1950s. The most controversial incident in Usti's recent history was the Matichny Wall. Does this ring a bell?
The Roma Wall. Yeah.
Yes, as it was colloquially known, the Roma Wall. What do you know about it, if anything?
If I remember correctly, it was there was a wall built to basically stop, like, was it stopping like slightly well-to-do Czechs and their Roma neighbors from having to basically meet each other and do all this sort of stuff?
Yes, it was built right down the middle of a street.
It was, yeah. I felt it kind of quite close to the wonderfully named peace walls that you have in Northern Ireland. It's basically sort of pens off Catholics.
Yeah, it was that kind of deal. This is in 1998, by the way. Yeah. So not even that long ago.
And literally everybody said, you can't do that, that's racist. And then other people went, oh yeah. But
well, almost everybody said you can't do that, apart from
the mayor.
Erstwhile mayor of Ustinad-Lorem, yeah. Ladislav Hruška, who promised that the wall would be finished by the end of 1998. Anyway, this caused a fairly major international scandal. Yeah. And a load of international journalists were sent over to investigate what was going on here. This brings up Hruška's second magnificent quote on this, magnificent in the biggest inverted commas you will ever see. International journalists who were writing this story were told by the mayor that it was, quote, never intended to segregate by race, but rather to keep respectable citizens safe from noise and rubbish coming from the other side of the street, end quote. Seems like a solid argument.
I don't even have a witty. No. Bad. It's just sort of like, you know, like my cat's meowing too loud in the living room. I'm going to place a physical bar. I'm going to build a wall in my bedroom. You know, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like,
The wall eventually went ahead, despite complaints from the Roma Civic Council of the Czech Republic and the Deputy Prime Minister, who was also very vocal in saying, you know what, you can't do that.
Uh-huh. It was a social democrat government, I think, in 98.
And there were massive protests.
Zeman government, wasn't it?
Yeah. Possibly, yeah. Actually, yeah, you're probably right, actually, around that time. Yeah. Anyway, huge protests. People stood in the way of the wall. Even people found kind of other slightly... sort of other angles to combat it, saying you can't dig up the middle of the street because there's a load of tree roots that run down there and it'll kill all the trees and everything. So every possible angle to try and get it stopped happened. But it went up anyway. It then lasted 6 weeks and was torn down, and all of the material went to Ustinad-Labem Zoo to build pens with.
A wooden wall.
Yeah. On a much prettier...
fucking Ron Seal man just at the top of it there. Anyway.
Yeah, on a much prettier note, when we were there, we also went to Strechov, which is the castle.
That's nice.
It's a very nice castle. It's now owned by the Lobkovich family of beer having been named after them fame. Mm-hmm. It's on a big outcrop overlooking the bend in the Elba, or the Labe, where Usti sits.
The nice side of Usti.
Yeah. Goethe visited there. He called the view from the castle the most beautiful in Central Europe. And Richard Wagner also stayed there, and it inspired him to write his opera Tannhäuser. And when we were there, do you remember the painting on a piece of wood that was there? In one of the rooms, there was a painting, a landscape painting on a kind of wooden canvas, let's say. Do you remember this? In one of the rooms in the castle. And it had lots of holes in it.
For podcast purposes, I'm going to say yes.
You don't, do you?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, there is a painting of basically the view from the castle. And it's on a big piece of wooden board. And it's got a lot of big, heavy-looking holes in it. And that was a picture that had been hung on the wall that was used for bow and arrow target practice by Richard Wagner, who would stand outside the room and fire arrows from his bow into the room, into the landscape painting of the view from the castle. So that's a thing.
Good.
That you can see.
Good.
At Strechov Castle. Mm-hmm. And it's a very nice walk up there. And there's a pub, obviously, because it's actually there are two. Because obviously it's a Czech thing, so there have to be pubs. We also have music.
Oh.
From Ustinad Labem.
Oh.
I have chosen the incredibly badly named 21492261 93 bit band.
Isn't that a song on the second side of the first B-52s album?
Yeah, the 60608 band. Yeah, so we're going to listen to a bit of them. They're a kind of, you know, electro duo thing that sound a little bit like Sparks in their weird Giorgio Moroder phase. Yeah, they sound a bit like this. That was the long number bit band. What did you call them when we were listening to them then?
A Crap Crystal Castles.
A Crap Crystal Castles. One of the songs I was considering using, just because it would amuse you, is called Mr. Black.
Mr. Black. But can I didn't call you Uncle Blackie?
No. Yeah, I didn't use that because it wasn't very good. it was just because normally I go for more sort of rock orientated things, mm-hmm. and the next podcast will definitely have a rock orientated bit because it'll be What's the Deal with Bono, and it's going to be us.
Of course it is. Other bands are available.
Not in Bono, they're not. Right, we're going to look at games against Cute Badge FC and Tree Nets after this. So we've got two more games to look at against Cute Badge FC and FKFC Football Ovi Club Football FKFC Trinets Football Club Football brackets club close brackets.
Yes.
Vikovica was at their place and
it was
3-2. It was. And I didn't see this. You did.
I did.
I was setting up for the gig we were playing that night, so mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to see it. I did look back at the goals, though, and the penalty shouts and so forth.
Uh-huh. I honestly thought I was going to, like, die from old age after watching this game. Like, it was just the strangest game. Like, it's just like one of those sort of fever dreams you have or whatever. It's like, that can't have happened. And no, everything actually did happen. Very strange.
Yeah, starting with a goal from one of the shortest players on the pitch with an unmarked far post header.
Have you not noticed? We've started doing this, though. This must be a training or tactics thing, like try to pump balls to the back post. Because half the time it just sails over the back post and we go, oh, he's overhit that. That's a shame. Rather than, oh, he's actually meaning to go there.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of it's very easy to overhit it, and also having Stepp on the back post, one of the shortest men on the pitch. I think the idea being that, hey, no one's going to mark him, he's no trouble. If you put, you know, Drexler on the back post, yeah, he'd be marked instantly. But
I think it's just to put people there generally, though, because, I mean, whoever's on the back post seems to change, i.e. Hladik, for example, being on the back post at the time, Pshichy as well.
Yeah, but that's what happened. We went one up from there.
We did.
Then we were very, very, very lucky in a way, because Schuster gets a straight red card for, uh-huh. and he's very lucky that it's only a free kick,
yeah,
and not a penalty. I watched it back. Ooh, right on the edge of the area. That
the thing that annoys me is I'm not convinced he has to go for it.
No, I don't know. I looked at it
a few times. I think that the ball is almost too far away. For the, I think it's Mathieu, the Vukovica player, to really get a proper touch on to take it round.
Mm.
So I think that was, like, I understand why he did it. And I understand people going, it's fine, you know, but you are going to get sent off for, you know, either denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity or preventing a goal, however which way you see it. I'm just not convinced that you need to really do that. And it's and a team that struggles for goals, I think if they equalise, you can still beat them.
Yeah.
So, I'd, you know, after quarter of an hour, 16 yeah. minutes.
And it was, yeah, and, you know, we got rid of Haluska for moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there you go. And so, yeah, Schuster with his ridiculous beard mm-hmm. sees red. Nothing comes of the free kick.
And then we had 75 minutes of struggling to play basic football. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, we went 2-0 up before half-time.
Completely against the run of play, I must add.
Yeah, like I said, I only saw the 2-minute long highlight package, so I can't really comment on it, but it's a good goal when it does come.
It's a lovely finish, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly style does all the work, mm-hmm. Gets the ball on the right, twists around two players, takes it to the D, the edge of the area there, where Rousset comes howling in and just smashes it off his boot, basically clatters it into the roof of the net from just outside the area. It's a lovely finish.
Yeah.
But if you're Pricky style, you go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Then you go into half-time going, I think we're going to get away with this. Just keep it tight in the second half, please.
Did they keep it tight in the second half, please?
No, no, they didn't. No, not at all. We decided to absolutely... like. I mean, you have the way that the play went, but I still think that we probably should have lost this game by quite a few.
Mm. Yeah, it seemed to open up for Vitkovice quite a lot after that. We really helped them by giving away a penalty. It's a fairly soft penalty.
It's a soft penalty, but it is a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, he goes down like a sack of potatoes, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a, you've seen them given, and mm-hmm. indeed this was given, and Andre Chveya steps up, makes no mistake, and it's 2-1 from the penalty spot. Mm-hmm.
It's now the thing, because we took off, I think we took off Kurska, was it? Or Fosek, I can't remember who.
It's not Fosek.
It's Kurska, yeah, it's Kurska, yeah, because Fosek scores the penalty, but I think
spoilers.
Off, yeah, okay, Kurska, we take Kurska off to put Jirka Floder back in the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, the midfield was just totally ruined, basically. Yeah. Like, they were just getting run through all the time. And they were they didn't look like a team bottom. They were driving at the goal.
Mm.
And I know it's a, you know, with a man advantage, yeah. but it, you know, really, really was something. And they came close, even before the equaliser. Shot flashes past the post. Another yeah. one that I think is tipped over the bar.
I'm slowly becoming a vaguely paid up member of the David Kurska fan club.
Yeah.
I think he's really coming into his own.
It's a cracking player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lovely little player. The equaliser comes eventually, and if you Google glancing header,
mm-hmm.
Dominik Martyszak's equaliser walker, it's a great ball in, and it's a fabulous header, isn't
sexy.
It?
Sexy. It's just
it
like,
really is
I
good.
Mean, I mean, as much as I'm now giving it the whole, you know, good nod, mm. you know, say or whatever. I mean, I think I scared the cat out of the room at that point because it was, you know, oh, for fuck, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah. it was a really professional.
It's a good goal, though, yeah. It's a lovely, lovely finish.
And that was still, what, 20 minutes to go? 15? Yeah. Or, yeah, 70-something, I think it was.
Yeah, I haven't got it written down here, but yeah, with about 15 minutes left.
And
I
from
think.
Then on, I was convinced we were going to lose.
And we didn't. Because Rusek is fouled. And actually, at this point, Vitkovice looking a little bit leggy mm-hmm. at the back. There were a couple of times earlier when they'd sort of put three people on either Prikistal or Rusek and they were sort of just turning them inside out a little bit. Vitkovice is starting to look a bit leggy. Penalty or no penalty?
For me, watching it at the time, I was thinking that it wasn't a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at it, I'm not sure. It's like the angle that you see it at yeah. is really difficult because you're basically just seeing sort of Rusek's back and the defender in front of it. Like, I think it's probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, it's not important, I guess. But what's important is that we got away with one with that winner.
Yeah, Adam Fosek steps up and with the confidence of a man, well, the
confidence of a man, comma.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, who's been in for... He hasn't really been in... No one's been in form, really. Mm-hmm. But he steps up and he smashes the penalty home into the roof of the net. He really, really hammers it.
You're talking about how you're becoming a big fan of David Kirschka. I am a really big fan of Adam Fosek.
Again, like, yes. Coming very good.
First few games, it was just terrible. I think it was...
He came on with a point to prove, didn't he? Yeah, he was a man possessed in that game, and he hasn't really looked back since. He's been very, very good.
Yeah.
We played many, many names Trinets of Polish fame.
Mm-hmm.
And
Polish fame, yeah.
And we won 5-0. It was a very, very pleasing performance.
Mm-hmm. Known for their hockey these days, Trinets. Obviously not for their defending, I suppose.
Yeah.
This.
It was weird because for the first 5 or 10 minutes, I thought, "Oh, we've got a game here," yeah. And then suddenly we absolutely didn't for 80 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's a good joke, David, because that can either be about the performance or it can be about the Fortuna live stream,
which went
down for a number of times for technical difficulties. But it's a strange one because this one also sort of fucked with my head in exactly the opposite way that Vitkovica did, because I was going into this game thinking it was probably going to be able to get a result here, but Trinets have been a decent side. They've been...
they're very tricky.
They caused Hradec Kralovec a bunch of problems, took the lead against them twice, the weekend before. I always thought we were going to be into a game, but we did exactly what we did last season, which is draw in Trinets and then absolutely hammer them at home.
Yeah.
Which I think was also 5-0.
I think you might be right there. Yes.
We took a big flag, remember? Took a big flag.
Big flag.
We did a huge flag. It took out half the away end.
That's right, yes. It was very pleasing. I don't really have any notes on this aside from we looked very good. All the boxes were ticked. A nice variety of goal scorers. Lots of rest because we now have five substitutes as well. Yeah. So
I don't have much notes on this either. Like, I mean, we scored a bunch of bundly sort of goals as a result of good movement and a couple of really nice finishes. The movement in this game is nothing that we've seen so far in these.
They look really confident, didn't they?
It was so much better than what we'd been seeing, where we were sort of huffing and puffing and yeah. You know, you talk about, you know, it's about champions that, you know, get the results, you know, and just grind out results and stuff. But it
sort of works though as a sequence of events. The opening nervy first win, but we've got 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
The 0-0 ground out that in hindsight looks like a decent result.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fluky, but we were playing for most of the game with 10 men. You know what, lads, we can probably do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that confidence taken into the Trinets game where we absolutely swept them aside.
Yeah, I think you need to have that confidence now because at the moment, Pardubice are absolutely outclassing sides at the top of the table. And, you know, the games are slowly drying up and suddenly 6 points becomes a lot harder when you're 4-3, you know, whatever games from the end of it. And it is within the capabilities of the squad to win this league. I'm confident enough now to say that we are definitely going to be playing in a playoff at the end of the season, unless we do something like collapse and just have a complete meltdown and there's a 7-point swing, not just between ourselves, but between Hradec Kralovec as well.
Yeah.
But
We still have Hradec to play. We still have Jihlava to play.
Yeah.
Which are two massive games coming up. It's Lyshen, Jihlava, Hradec, and then Chudim are the next four.
Yeah.
So,
But, I mean, if we get out of those, then I think... And Chudim actually... Great shakes. Chudim sensational since they came back, actually.
Yeah. We've got them at home, though, so...
I mean, they're still too too good for them, but...
Yeah.
You know, so the point still stands. The focus now shouldn't be sort of looking over the shoulder. It should be trying to basically, you know, get on the heels of Pardubice.
Yeah. All right, so there we go. We are going into a very quick beer of the podcast
next. Yes.
We've got a very interesting concoction coming up, so that's coming up now. Beer
Oh, see, I thought you were going to do that thing where you do a song. Like, beer, 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 you know.
Of the podcast! So this is this week's beer of the podcast, and I poured it out for you. What do you reckon?
I think it looks like a pale ale. I've not been allowed to look at the bottle.
No. Well, this is from the Mad Cat Brewery, who are from Kamenica, which is near Jihlava, actually. So that's, I didn't know that beforehand. That's just a
that's
happy
fitting,
accident.
Yeah.
Yes. But it is called, I have it here, Mango Pina Coco Saurus. And it's
Mango Pina Coco Saurus.
Yep, there it is.
Great.
And it is a 4% beer, so like a 10 degree. And the idea, I think, is that they're trying to make a pina colada flavoured beer. In fact, on the label, there is a small chart that shows you...
how much pina.
Yes, and indeed colada. And its main flavouring is pineapple, obviously, but there's mango, bitters... and coconut. So I'm now I went out and chose this. I am very suspicious about this because I don't like coconut generally. I'm not a huge fan of pineapple. But it was just one of those where I thought, you know what, I can't not.
This is nothing.
It looks ridiculous. I'm going to have to get it.
Just before the Jihlava preview as well.
Yeah.
I like pina coladas and saying stuff about the game.
Right, let's go. Very good. Right. Okay. Well, so yeah. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. As a smell. Cheers, yeah. Lordy, aye.
It's a party.
It really... God, there's a lot going on there. What do you reckon? I mean, I'm gonna keep talking so you can process the information. That's not a good face. There was a twitch. There was a head. Yeah? What do you think?
Can I have a look at the bottle again?
Yeah, of course you can.
It's
right, you keep talking, I'm gonna have a go on this.
You see then. The strange thing is that I don't taste really any of the things that maybe the mango.
Oh,
I do.
There's definitely coconut in there.
Maybe the mango, but
there's
like
a lot
I don't
of coconut.
Really, maybe my taste buds are just completely done now. It just tastes to me like a bit of a generic fruit sour.
Nah, that's like drinking a Bounty.
Really?
Yeah. To me that's all coconut.
A few tinnies in the Bounty.
Maybe Maybe just because I'm not a huge fan of coconut,
and you're
so I really
sensitized to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, it's
actually,
I mean, it's not unpleasant. It's perfectly fine.
Like,
but
listener,
you know.
You're going to judge me because before this, David has been drinking beer like a good podcaster. I was drinking Strongbow Red Berries, and this kind
like
of feels
like the 17-year-old goth that you are.
You know, this is me smoking weed down the skate park again.
sitting on the war memorial.
R troops, ARE troops. This feels to be more in the canon of this than there is beer.
And it is beer.
And by the way, if you ever see that Strongbow have a new one out, which is called Cucumber and Mint, trust me, don't.
All right.
But that's a good, that's, I mean,
PSA
that's
there.
A fascinating beer anyway. And it's really interesting, actually, how two people drink it differently as well, that you're getting, like, notes that I just can't find.
Yeah. Mainly coconut.
Mainly coconut.
Mainly coconut. Yeah, it's not unpleasant, you know, I will happily go with it. I'm not a massive fan of coconut, but as an idea and as something to do, I think they've done quite well. It's definitely a new way to go.
I'd have a half between a couple of other beers, you know.
Which is what this is, basically. Right, we
whizzed through a couple of previews,
yeah,
eh,
David?
Yeah,
whizzed through a couple of previews. Let's do that now, then. We've got previews of the next couple of games, and then we've got Hot or Not to finish us off in not very many minutes. Mm-hmm. So, because these are going to be quite quick previews. You haven't got that much, have you?
I think. Leashing up, David. We're talking about the other team in Brno.
Yes.
It's not a derby, or the 20 players cumulative on loan derby, whatever you'd like to call it.
The battle for the shtetl.
Yes, that's the best one, isn't it? Actually, I forgot about that one.
Spiel Podspielassem.
Yes. They're a lot more average than I thought they were, Leashen. I thought they were really good entertainment the first half of the season. But they've won 6, drawn 8, lost 7, scored 35, conceded 34.
That is average.
How average can you get? Yeah. Too good to get fall into relegation, too poor to really trouble the top, but useful for nicking points off teams that are around us. Yeah. So that's one thing. Bad loss to Vlašim. A fortnight ago.
That was really poor.
Vlašim are really struggling right now. Žižkov, fair enough. Žižkov look like they're going to be on a bit of a tear. And then two draws with Vyšehrad and Jihlava. The Jihlava one's the only real result, I'd say.
Yeah.
Out of those.
That's sort of about where they should be doing, I think. That's probably
two
about...
2 points from 12.
Yeah, but that's going back a long way, though.
This is it. And it's worth pointing out as well that Martin Zikl, Ondra Winter and Jakub Černin of...
Us. Fame.
Fame, yes. Are all contracted to Zbrojovka. So I believe everyone acquired by us is an acquisition as well. So
yeah.
It wouldn't actually surprise me if we saw Zikl lining up against Borovka, because I think there might just be an agreement there, and I don't think that Zikl's going to be seeing a contract through at Borovka. But whatever happens, I'm reasonably confident about this, particularly because Leashen's two highest scorers this season will be a threat playing for the away side. So, we basically took all their good players.
And their manager.
Yeah. Now, David, are you going to watch this live, or are you going to watch this live and take a stepladder?
I don't think I'm going to take a stepladder. I do own a stepladder, but I don't think I'm going to take a stepladder.
Part of me wants to go.
Do you
Part of me wants to go and see if there's a hill, or an opening, or a fjord.
Yeah.
if there's somewhere to actually be able to watch a match, because it's reasonably open, that stadium.
Yeah, I also think a lot of people will have that idea, though, as well.
That's true.
I think it could be one of those where it does more harm than good, because like hundreds of people might turn up mm-hmm. with the idea that they can have a bit of a goosey. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
I'm in the media, David. I'm allowed to.
How are you in the media? Are you in the media the same way that I'm in the media, i.e. we do this?
Shut up, David. this should be a routine 3 points. Leashen are good, they're not that good. We should know let's be honest, we know that team inside out from a managerial and coaching perspective.
Upside down.
Boy, turn me.
Inside out. Sorry, yeah.
2-0 it was, I believe, last time, wasn't it? Which featured one of my favourite goals of the season.
At their place?
No, in...
Oh,
Srpska.
Yeah, I wasn't you there, that's there. Why.
Yeah, you weren't there and you missed my favourite goal of the season, which is
Magera's bicycle kick
yeah. from about 3 feet off the ground, because he's that tall.
Yeah.
Madness.
Hello, Zappi.
We've got that one to look forward to. Zappi, of course, not playing right now because...
No.
Yeah.
Regional league. Then Jihlava.
Yeah, very quickly on Jihlava. Jihlava have pretty much collapsed at this point. So they had...
Which is, that's a long fall from up in the mountains.
Good, good. It's a shame because I like it. I like Jihlava as an away day. We're playing them at home. Don't know why that was a fact, but they've had some hard games. So they came out and they lost 2-1 to Dukla. And then they drew with Hradec, and then they lost to Varnsdorf.
Mm.
So that was a real step up. Varnsdorf starting to look like pretty much every team, by the way, at the bottom now is safe, because you have Vitkovice, I believe, on 11 points and Sokolov on 10, or the other way around. The next team's got 21 points. So
it's not Vitkovice, it's Vlašim.
No, Vitkovice are bottom. and
are they bottom?
Sokolov really? Are second bottom, or the other way around. Vlashim have 21 points.
Oh, okay.
Because they're bad, but not that bad. Right. Varnsdorf, I think, have 24 now. But like they're sort of getting there. Again, poor run by Jihlava sort of kind of takes them out of the contest now to some degrees. They have 37 points. Hradec have 37 points. Dukla have 38. Zhizhkov have 38. We have 44.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 7 points on them.
Right.
And we're still over a game if we lose. And we might lose, but I would be confident of getting at least a point. I think a point is maybe fine. I prefer a win. And then Hradec on the 18th, who I see is more of a threat now. I would
and that's
prefer
at
to
their
beat.
Place as well. So,
that is at yeah. their place. We do have the hex over them, though.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. On that, rather than doing a full sort of thing on Jihlava, I just also wanted to point out the run-in for Pardubice mm-hmm. at the same time, because we have Lishen away, Jihlava at home, and Hradec away. Pardubice have Dukla away, Varnsdorf at home, Lishen away, and Hradec at home. Now,
that Dukla game is big.
That Dukla game is big, and Hradec Kralove are guaranteed to beat Pardubice because they just dominate that derby.
All right, fair enough.
So what we kind of need, famous last words, but I think that Hradec will get something there. We really need them to drop at least 3 points in this four
mm-hmm.
in this four games. And they, I think they sort of ease into it after that and play mm-hmm. a bunch of Visegrads and stuff like that. So they need to drop points. Varnsdorf might be able to offer a surprise, but they should beat Lishen, they should beat Varnsdorf. They're probably going to beat Dukla.
All right, well, there we go. We are going to see out this episode with a bit of hot or not action, and that's coming up sort of after this musical bit. Hot or not?
Oh, good. Oh, so that was your Start Wearing Purple boys.
Yes. Who are called?
We're running low on time, and I don't want to hang in the air. So
Gogol Bordello.
Gogol Bordello, of
with
course.
With Not a Crime, yes. And the Hot or Not uh-huh. cover of that.
Yeah.
How many have you got?
I've got one of each.
One of each.
Sadly, not crime related, because that would have been...
That would have been good.
Yeah.
One of mine is vaguely crime related.
Good.
But, yeah, I've got two hots and a not.
Uh-huh. Well, please, I would like you to take most of the time on this, because I have a very quick hot. So I'm just going to put it out there and say that my hot is Mihalek for winning Manager of the Month.
Yes, he did.
Which
well
I thought
done
was
to him.
Nice, and also upset a few Pardubice fans as well, being like, "Why is it not Krejci? Why is it not Krejci?" It's like, well, you know, you got the Player of the Month. Fuck off.
Yeah,
David.
my hot is another team winning things, and it's Coventry City going up to the Championship. Confirmed this evening, actually, while I was writing out my hot or nots, the news came through on Twitter there that we're
hence
going
the
up.
Two hots.
Hence the two hots. I had a hot. Coventry going up. As I said in the previous episode, I think we deserved it anyway. I think even if the season had resumed, we would have gone up anyway. 10 points clear of the playoffs with a game in hand and a fairly easy run in. We played 34 games. We'd lost 3 of them. There's nothing else I can say, really, apart from that sort of vague spluttering. Apart from to play you this video that I was sent by fellow Coventry City fan Matt Smith of our midfielder on loan from Aston Villa, pleasingly. And, right, before we play it, can you describe, Sam, what he looks like or what he's doing?
Well, he looks like he's outside what can only really be described as like a student apartments complex in the middle of Coventry with a big blue wig, what appears to be his own shirt and a stereo.
Yeah, wearing his own Coventry City shirt, I think. This is our young midfielder, Callum O'Hare, going rightly fucking mental.
Whoa! Whoa! Don't you know, pump it up, the city's going up. Don't you know, pump it up, the city's going up. Don't you know, pump it up.
So that's very pleasing. So that's my first hot.
Brilliant.
I've got a not, and then we can do
oh, that's
one
good.
Each.
Yeah. So what's your not?
So my not is that group of 30 or so Banik fans who decided to turn up outside the stadium when Zvorovko were playing Vítkovice on the off chance of having a Barney with any Brno fans. These people have tiny penises. I can tell you that now. That is pathetic.
I don't know. That's a power move, man. That's a power move. Like,
I mean, come on. Right. For a start,
that's terrible. But yeah,
for a start, hooliganism is an awful thing in the first place. And turning up just on the off chance that like two people have come from Brno that you might be able to chase after and kick the shit out of. Come on. That's ridiculous. That's my not. That is dickish behaviour, lads.
Yeah. It's true. I don't know where my not sits in all this now.
What's your not?
My not is the beach.
The beach?
The beach. I was just thinking about this the other day. I think I saw some things on social media that some days it's been kind of getting quite nice in Britain, right?
Right.
And then these sort of, you know, curtain twitchers have been posting these photos of lots of people at the beach going like, blah, 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 is there not social distancing? Blah, 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 blah. I see sort of arguments for each side or whatever, but also like, who the fuck goes to the beach? The beach is shit, David. Like, I mean, like, okay, Britain beaches, weather's terrible, screaming children. Remember when a 99 used to cost 99? Because I don't, it's like 2.99 or whatever. They don't even do donkey rides anymore. There's always somebody winching in a cave or something like that. An old guy's trying to, you know, sort of basically sort of like perv on women in bikinis. And then sand gets up your arse. It's awful. Why would you go to the beach? Like, and then, like, you know, because it's like an outdoor place, people are pretending to go to the beach. Like people are pretending they're like running now because it's their exercise and they've never done any running in their life. The beach, pointless.
That's me. I will say we can call this football related because that's where many mid-table teams are now. Yeah. On the beach.
I see.
That's the cliche, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In their flip-flops.
Only good thing about beaches.
Yes.
Beach towels. Because beach towels, when you have a shower or whatever, you actually get, you know, lots of surface area. But the beach itself, come on. You're just sitting on the beach with your girlfriend reading a book pretending you like it. Lies.
I'm actually with you on this because I don't like the ocean very much. I'm not a particularly good swimmer. I don't like the ocean because I'm also very short-sighted, so you can't wear your glasses in it.
Yeah.
I once attempted to go swimming in the sea in Cornwall when I was very young, got smashed in like by a very, very strong wave.
Yeah.
And went face first into the sand, got my head buried in the sand, and sort of gurgled and mildly drowned for a bit, and then was dumped out onto the beach again. And that was basically my last attempt at even trying to have anything to do with the sea. Frankly, you can keep the sea and beaches, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm glad we're in agreement. But David, are you saying you don't like the ocean because the going got tough? Sorry. I got something to tell you.
I've got another knot.
Please tell.
It's that. No, I've got one more hot.
Okay, good.
And then we will see this podcast out. My last hot is Vladimir Darida.
Mm-hmm.
Czech midfielder type.
Mm-hmm.
He plays for Hertha Berlin.
He does.
And in the game against Borussia Dortmund the other weekend, he broke his own record for distance covered in a Bundesliga game.
Wow.
He ran 14.7 kilometres in 90 minutes.
I thought you were going to say broke his own leg or something
No.
And I was like, that's a bit of a shame.
No,
for a hot.
So, he ran 14.7 kilometres in 90 minutes, which is ridiculous.
That's mad.
However, this broke the previous record of 14.3 kilometres that he set the previous week against Augsburg. which is excellent work. The record before that goes back to the 2018 season, and it was 14.16 kilometres set by Vladimir Darida. So he's broken his own record twice now of most kilometres covered in a Bundesliga game. Well done, that very hard-running Czech midfield man.
That's good. They're not doing terribly right now, are they?
Since they came back, Hertha, they've been decent. They beat Augsburg, they beat Schalke, did they beat Dortmund? I think they did.
actually.
Ever since they got rid of Jürgen Klinsmann, that's not a coincidence.
The $75 million man.
Yes. Was that $75 million? Something like that. Madness.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who won't be playing that much sort of money for players. Us when we go up.
Yeah.
We'll be 75 million crowns, mate.
75 crowns, maybe.
75 crowns. Bust to Yuhlavan back, get some of their players. Get that Klobasa, get him on the, get that stand of Klobasa on the bus down here.
Yeah.
Rotation player.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bag on the head, get him on the bus.
Not Mossad. Like, it's like... I mean, I was hoping that we're going to have a legitimate transfer and stuff. Because like, if we do go up, we're going to have to replace half that side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. So, we're going to play you out, as we normally do, with a Czech song. An English song done in Czech.
Yeah.
So, that's a thing that's going to happen now. Follow us on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, at Sprayovcast and so forth. If you're coming down to Zlatar Lodge, we will see you there at some point.
Yes, say hello.
Yes.
As seen on TV's Borejovcast.
Yes, twice now, in fact. So yeah, that's us out. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Mi moja.